I know this is a special congregation because never in my life has somebody given an announcement for nursery workers and there's an applause after. I'm like, in the history of the church, I don't think this has happened. And it happened this morning. And, I mean, she deserved it. Wow, that was a good announcement. This morning, as we continue in this series of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, our focus this morning is on the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as everlasting Father. Before we read the scripture, by way of introduction, I will begin with a few stories from my family. Can you see me there? I'm sorry. Kind of blocking. Anyway, my wife and I, as you might imagine, are both deeply concerned about the welfare of our children. However, that concern is manifest in different ways. I still remember when our son was young, he got his first plastic T-ball set. He was so young that he was still kind of learning the coordination of bat meets ball. Okay, so he could get it, but it took some work. Well, we gave him this set, and it was very exciting. Oh, let's go outside and play some baseball. So he and I go in the front yard. My wife is watching lovingly from the living room window. We set up the tee and the ball. And do you think he wanted to bat first or play the field? He wanted to bat. I mean, you know, swinging, hitting things. He was all over this. So I'm in the field, and, you know, he'd hit the tee, then he'd hit the ball, and it would go a little bit. And this was fine. But after a bit, I wanted to do this, okay? I wanted to hit the ball. So I got him, and I placed him in the outfield. I said, all right, now you catch the ball, okay? And I went over here with the bat and just did a little soft boop, and it was a beautiful hit. It had a nice arc to it, nice fly ball, and it went right to my son. He didn't even have to move to catch it, okay? So, boop, like this. And he's standing here looking like this, and I'm saying, catch the ball, Timothy, catch the ball. He didn't. He just looked at it in disbelief, and the ball perfectly arced right into his forehead and bounced off. Now, each family member had a different reaction. He was crying, I fell on the ground laughing, and my wife outside was deeply concerned about our son and wondering how to put me in the doghouse for doing that to our son. Now, for myself as the father, you know, I knew he wasn't seriously hurt. It was just a little plastic ball. It wasn't hard. And I thought, you know what? This is good for the lad. I mean, in life, you get bumps and bruises, and you got to learn how to stand up with this. So for me, I was like, oh, it's fine. He'll get over it. It'll make him a stronger person. My wife is not looking at the situation in that way. Once when he was young, we were taking a walk. This time he was walking with me, and my dad was with us as well. I was holding his hand, and he tripped over the crack in the sidewalk, and he fell down. Now, this wasn't a complete face plant because I had his hand, but he did, like, hit the sidewalk, and he got a little bloody nose. I was like, whoa, get the baby book out. Write it down, first bloody nose. We can put a little drop of blood in the baby book. I got to tell my wife when we get home. Now, I did get a little Kleenex to wipe it up. I cared for him, but I'm like, ah, son, first bloody nose with your dad. This is good. This is good. We get home. Again, the wife, not happy that this happened. She wanted to be around for the first bloody nose so that she could probably care for him rather than you're becoming stronger, son. Last one, this does not have to do with welfare of the children. It has to do with me as a dad, and if a risk needs to be taken in the family, well, I'm kind of the default go-to person for that. I wish I could tell you a more riskier story. However, we were on a family road trip. One night we spent in a motel. So no interior hallway. It was just parked car, and you walk into your room. Well, we unloaded the car, and my wife needed something back in the van. And we noticed that there were a couple Canadian geese out there, one in particular. And this was during the season where the geese are, protective and threatening. You know, sometimes geese get that way. And there was one particular one around the van. And now the discussion was, who's going to go out to get what we needed in the van? My wife said, I'm not going out. I offered to send the children. No. And but still, it was my role. Okay, we needed something. I'm going to take the risk. Okay, I will do this. And as the dad, I thought, well, this is my role. So I go outside, and the goose starts chasing me, like, around the van. I could not believe it. I'm like, give it up. And I'm running around the van. To be honest, I'm a little nervous because those beaks, they're hard. What's the family doing inside? You know, one of the funniest moments in family history was just occurring. I was able to get what was needed and to get back inside without injury. But it was, okay, not that huge, but it was a little risky of a situation. So as I thought about Jesus as everlasting Father, I actually was reflecting on myself as a dad. And I also thought about the Bible and a shepherd, because Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. And as I thought about it, I saw that there were some very clear parallels between Messiah as everlasting Father and Jesus as Good Shepherd. And so our scripture passage this morning is from John chapter 10, talking about Jesus as shepherd. I will read verses 7 to 18 in John chapter 10. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Some translations here use the word gate of the sheep. "All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." The word of the Lord. Today we will look at this idea of Jesus being everlasting Father, of Jesus being Good Shepherd. I suppose right at the outset we should think about what this Isaiah 9:6 passage is not teaching. In Isaiah 9:6, it says the Messiah is the everlasting Father. And for some, this offers a contradiction. No, wait a minute. I thought there was God the Father and God the Son, and how can God the Son be God the Father? And even in this passage of the Good Shepherd, Jesus refers to himself as the Good Shepherd, and then he talks about his Father, which is obviously God the Father. Well, really, this is not a contradiction at all. Isaiah 9:6 is not a teaching on the nature of the Trinity. There is no Trinitarian doctrine being brought forth in Isaiah 9:6. What's simply happening is the metaphor, the symbol of Father is used to explain some attributes of Jesus. That's what's going on. It has nothing to do with the formulation of the Trinity. It's just using Father as a metaphor. Additionally, what it is not is when we read about everlasting Father, many people, depending on your upbringing, might think of a very strict, authoritarian, and unloving father, one who is detached. You better do what he says, but don't get in his way, or you will pay. Sometimes people can have trouble, well, trusting in God because of the father that they had. And right at the outset, we need to understand that this idea of loving father is not some strict, authoritarian, detached figure in a family. It's not that type of father. So what is it? What is it? Well, we have looked at Isaiah 9, verse 6, and obviously it's talking about the Messiah, and words are used to describe the Messiah. The Messiah, a child that is born, that grows to be king. And this Messiah is Wonderful Counselor, is Mighty God, is Everlasting Father. And then next week, I will wrap this up with Prince of Peace. So what is Everlasting Father? Well, first of all, we have the word everlasting. Let's just say that's always and forever. 2 weeks ago, I had a little timeline of ancient Israel history, and right before the United Kingdom of Saul and David and Solomon, they had the time of the judges, and life was chaotic. There was no consistent rule. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. They were not unified, and when that time came to an end, the people were saying, "Give us a king. We need a king to lead us, to unify us, to lead us in God's way." Well, the Messiah, everlasting, this is something beyond what the people could even conceive of asking for. You want a king to organize you and provide unity? God says, "I'll do something better with the Messiah. This king will be always and forever." This is what you really need, not just one king at the moment, but an always and forever king, an everlasting king. So Jesus is everlasting, and he's also Father in this sense. Jesus is protector, provider. He is always faithful. Simply put, Jesus has a heart of care for his people, for his sheep, for his children. He cares. All of the Bible translations, interestingly, use everlasting Father here, except for some, and some use eternal Father, but all use the word Father. And the idea is caring. Malachi 3:17 uses the word Father in this metaphor sense as well. "On that day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession." Much like a loving father sees his children as a treasured possession. "My treasured possession, I will spare them, just as a father has compassion and spares his son." In the scripture passage I read this morning, the same is true about the shepherd. The good shepherd cares for the sheep and, in this image of family, knows the sheep by name. Think about this. Think about powerful people in our world today. Maybe they're dictators or kings or presidents or prime ministers. Some have very poor motives. Some have better motives. There's lots of words that we could use to describe powerful people in authority. Lots of words. But one word we will not use to describe our president or the dictator of North Korea, one word we will not use is father. And why? Because our leaders are detached from us. I mean, they aren't necessarily. They're only human. They can't know us all by name. They can't have a personal relationship with each of us. And so we would never use that name. We might use mighty, wonderful counselor in the sense of wisdom and guiding. Sure. Prince of Peace, perhaps we could use that a leader brings about a measure of peace in a society, but we would never use Everlasting Father or even Father. But here you see how beautiful it is that this king, the Messiah king, Jesus, is a king of relationship that knows the world and that knows each of you by name. And he is concerned about that. The Everlasting Father. So Jesus is a Messiah who's everlasting, and he's the Father in the sense that he can protect, he can provide, and he's always faithful. That imagery of Father. And so now, I guess the important question is, what difference does this make in our lives? What difference does this make? Well, first, we have an eternal relationship. We just don't have a good, nice relationship. Now, we have an eternal relationship. John 10, 14 and 15, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. What is the reason for the laying down? It is to establish a relationship that is not just now, but a relationship forever. Jesus lays down his life for his sheep, and he is a personal God that knows us. By way of illustration, I'm going to use my DOG for a moment, okay? And that's just a furry beast. We're people, but it's just an illustration, okay? A block away from our house is a park. Only once at the park have I seen a coyote. But I've heard occasionally there's a coyote early morning drifting through. Usually they hang out more in the woods that are a little back and away. Well, let's just suppose that one day I'm walking the dog. Now, this dog is 15 pounds, okay? So like this, okay? Picture that. So we're walking, or I'm walking the dog, and the dog's up ahead of me doing its thing, sniffing. I'm looking at the trees. We make a good pair. And so we're enjoying. The point is we're enjoying this walk. And then all of a sudden, from behind a bush, a coyote jumps out, okay? Now, this has never happened, but I'm trying to think in my mind, what's going to happen if that coyote jumps out? Okay, that dog is going to make a beeline right behind me. This dog is not going to be like, I now protect master, okay? It's like, ah, big beast, phew, right behind me. So now we have coyote, me, and dog. And my role is to protect the furry beast from the big furry beast, all right? Well, this is the order that Jesus provides for us so that we might have an eternal relationship. Instead of a coyote, it is judgment upon us because of our sin, and we deserve this. We are moral creatures. We make sinful choices. So here is judgment on sin that we deserve. And Jesus, in effect, steps in between that judgment of sin and us. He lays down his life for the sheep. He takes the punishment of sin upon himself. And in so doing, in faith in Jesus Christ, we receive eternal life. Now, there are times for my children, I want kind of the bigger picture. Like if they, when they were growing up, they would fall down and be like, oh, that was a good fall. You need to learn how to fall well in life. And my wife didn't like that. She was concerned right at the moment, okay? And yes, God is concerned about the details of our lives, and yet Jesus is concerned more with a bigger picture issue, and that is your eternity. Hey, we go through our days, ups and downs. We may not feel well. Okay, there's times we just got to deal with it and understand, I'm not feeling well today, but do you know what? Jesus Christ laid down his life for me, and so I am his. Jesus took care of the most important thing, the big picture thing in my life, and I have this everlasting, eternal relationship with him. We can't just always get dragged down with these little things in life. Yeah, they may seem big for a moment, but let's think about the bigger issue. The bigger issue is, what about my sin? Who paid the price for this and that I am forgiven for my sin? We have an eternal relationship. That's what difference it makes, that Jesus is our everlasting Father. Secondly, what difference does it make? We can live life with confidence. Live life with confidence. Now, I did not ask any kids this, if this is still true today. But when I was a child, there would be times we'd be on the playground and a dispute would break out. And boys would be upset with each other. And then one of the boys would utter this line, "Well, my dad can beat up your dad." And then the other boy would reply, "No, my dad can beat up your dad. No." And then they'd have an argument about which dad was stronger. What's interesting about that, neither of the dads were there. And if the dads were there, they wouldn't have fought. But neither of the dads were there. But because of that boy's perception of his dad, he had confidence in the moment, even though his dad wasn't there. Just his understanding of his dad's strength gave him confidence to stand up and say, "Oh, my dad could beat your dad." How much more should this be with us and Jesus Christ? That when we face things in life that could create fear or anxiety, that we have confidence because Jesus has died for us. He is our good shepherd. He is our protector and provider. And so we can have confidence. Jesus is not a distant deity. We are family. John 10:11-13, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." Jesus cares deeply for the sheep, and he will do anything to protect his sheep. And so we can have confidence, not a prideful, cocky confidence. It is a humble confidence because it is an amazing grace received. But it is still confidence as we walk through life in this world. So what difference does it make that Jesus the Messiah is the everlasting Father? We have an eternal relationship. We have confidence. And then third, and all of these relate to each other, and last, is trust. We have trust. One more illustration about the DOG. Our dog is a very obedient dog. If you let the dog outside, the dog will stay close to you. If you say in the house, the dog goes in the house. All right? However, at 10 p.m. each night, when it's my job, I let the dog to do the little piddle. Religiously, I put a leash on because of the possibility of skunk. And we've had some skunk dogs in the neighborhood. I'm like, we're not going there. Okay, so I always put a leash on, except when it's really, really cold outside. I'm thinking those skunks are hibernating anyway. They're not going to be, you know, around. So, I mean, you think it's even below zero. It's really cold, but the dog needs to go out. So here's what I do. I will go to the back door, open the blind so I can see outside in the back. Then I will open the door and let the dog outside. Then I close the door, and I stand at the window and watch the dog. And, you know, it's kind of weird. Every night that this happens, I think about trust. It's a lesson in trust for me. When that dog goes out, that dog is not thinking, will he let me back in? Now, if that was you or I, that's what we'd be thinking. Well, the door is closed. How am I going to get back in? The dog has complete trust that I am there for her welfare. And it is true. Every night, the dog goes out. I don't walk away. I just stand by that window, wait till the dog is done, starting to shiver if it's, 20 below wind chill. And then what does the dog do? Makes a beeline for the back door, and I am right there to open up the door and let the dog in. What trust. You know, we're not animals, of course, but we can learn from the absolute trust that little pet has in me. Now, when that dog goes out, that dog is completely 100% dependent upon me for its welfare. I don't open that door, it's not good. Something that happens in our society is this. Children are completely dependent upon their parents, and they automatically trust in their parents because they have to. And unfortunately, in this world, there are parents that, in a sense, they leave their children out in the cold. And it is awful. It is sad. They don't protect them. They don't provide for them. The parents' needs are so overwhelming, all-consuming, so focused on self. The children are deeply wounded as a result. And these children can have a very difficult time with this idea of trust because they were so hurt. There's this protective instinct within them. I can't trust people. And God, trust? No. I just need to protect myself. God in his grace can heal and overcome those wounds. And we all must realize that life here on earth, it is fragile, and it is not perfect because of sin. What are we going to trust in? Jesus says, trust in me. I am the good shepherd. And even if the worst happens to you, the worst being death, even in death, Jesus says, I am your good shepherd. I will bring you to myself. In a sense, Jesus says, I will provide for you an eternal pasture of peace and flourishing life. Yesterday, I was grading papers, and these papers that my 10th grade students write, they're about their life journey, and they also have to answer various questions they choose, different questions about their spiritual walk with God. I read one paper yesterday, and I thought, I need to put this in the sermon. The question was, what do you feel is missing in your walk with God? And this is what this 10th grade girl wrote. I also should say, I tell the students, be honest. It's just between me and them, and I am humbled by their honesty, like this one. She wrote, I don't have a very strong relationship with God, but that's mostly my fault. I wish I had more trust in Him. With things like anxiety, I don't really trust a lot of people to help me. I want to be closer to God. I guess what's missing from our relationship is trust in Him. I believe that He will save me, but I don't trust that He will fix my anxiety and make me better. When it all comes down to it, I guess the question this morning is, how is God calling you to simply trust in the Good Shepherd? Think about your life. In what ways are you anxious, have a lack of contentment, or a lack of peace? It is in that area that the Good Shepherd looks at you with open arms, with a father's care, and says, come to me and trust in me. Today, maybe you have poor health. I hope you say, but I have an everlasting Father. Maybe there's tension in your family, but I have an everlasting Father. Maybe you can't stand your job or school really stinks. I have an everlasting Father. Maybe you are concerned about how this society is pulling away further and further from biblical morality. Well, step forward and say, but we have an everlasting Father. You know, in this world, there are times where it seems like even though the church is spread around the world, the influence of the church seems fairly small compared to the power players of government and money in this world. But we have an everlasting Father. Yes, there is much sin and much hurt in this world, but we have an everlasting Father. Trust in Jesus today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, please help us simply to trust in You more. Like this girl in this paper, I pray that each one of us would truly be honest with what's going on inside of us. And may our honesty bring us to a place of weakness, and may our place of weakness bring us to greater trust in You. Oh, lead us, Good Shepherd, we pray. Amen.